Clubhouse.
Welcome to Interview with a Celebrity. I'm Mike Caputo.
And I'm Caroline Daly.
Today we're speaking with Mark Ivanier, one of the co-stars of Netflix's upcoming series, Away.
You probably know Mark's face and accent, if not his name, because he's been in so many things, dating all the way back to the 90s. His first major film role was in Steven Spielberg's 1993 Oscar-winning epic Schindler's List.
He went on to rejoin with Steven Spielberg twice, once for a cameo appearance in Terminal, starring Tom Hanks, which I like and no one else does, and then again for his Spielberg's much-anticipated Tintin.
He's been on so many things, Mike. Like, he has, like, over 35 guest star roles on TV shows, like 24, Monk, CSI New York, Law & Order, Fringe, CSI Miami, Nikita, and, like, a ton of other things.
Wow. He's a classic, hey, I know that guy actor. When he pops up on the show, you can place him. You may not know his name. You may not. He's like one of those character actors. He's just always working. He's the definition of a working actor. But 35 guest star roles, yeah, you definitely know him. Speaking about Away, which is what he's starring in now, all 10 episodes of Away Season 1 will premiere on Netflix on September 4th, 2020.
From executive producer Jason Kadams, you know him from hit shows like Parenthood, Friday Night Lights, and Hulu's The Path. Away is part family drama and part space exploration, which is a wild combination, Mike.
It is. It is. In some ways, well, I don't want to give anything away, but you can learn everything you know you need to know about Away from our companion episode of Love It or Leave It, talking about Away. It featured Caroline, Paul, and moi.
We have a lot of thoughts on this new drama, and I think that you're going to definitely agree with us. One of the undeniable standouts from the series is Mark Ivanier, who plays Russian cosmonaut and engineer Misha Popov. That's like a sexy name, right? Misha Popov. I kind of want that last name. I'd be like Vivian Popov.
Gregorio. I'd be Gregorio Popov.
Gregorio? That's what you'd go with?
Gregorio. Yeah.
Vivian Popov.
Vivian Popov.
Ms. Popov, if you're nasty.
I love it. That was like the bootleg communist era, like Janet Jackson, like knockoff video.
Totally.
Instead of like hot Janet Jackson, it was like old babushka with like a big mole on her face.
I take offense.
Gotta be Vivian Popoff if you're nasty.
No, none of that. None of what you said. I loved Misha. Mike, I loved Misha. He was such a complex character, and I would say probably one of the most complex and interesting characters in the entire show.
You know, a lot of that is the script, but a lot of that is the way Mark plays him. There's a full range of emotion and personality on display, you know, from humor to heartbreak, from a gruff exterior to a real kind of grandpa sweetness about him. You know, his gooey insides, you know, and I think Mark hits the range really well.
I totally want him to be my grandpa. He's super sweet.
I had a blast talking to Mark. What did you think, Caroline?
For as larger than life as Misha is, I think that Mark absolutely rivals him in real life. He has such a fascinating story to tell about, I mean, everything. He's just had such a fascinating life. He was born in Soviet Union-controlled Ukraine, immigrating to Israel as a child, and then even spent time as a circus performer. Come on, people.
It's so true. You know, we talked to a lot of actors and creatives in the course of our work here at Pod Clubhouse and over at Pop Culture Review. And personally, I think Mark has one of the most interesting stories I've ever heard. And to top it all off, you know, a little cherry on top is he was super nice. He was really, really nice to talk to.
I have a very, very short list of people who I'd like to spend like a weekend with. And Mark is funny and captivating and just has stories for days. I would absolutely love to have a drink and just listen to all of his tales. So without further ado, here's our interview with Away's Mark Ivanier.
Hi, you're on with Mike Caputo and Caroline Daly from Pod Clubhouse.
Hi, Michael.
Hi, Mark. How are you? Thank you so much for joining us today. Caroline, are you there? Did I successfully merge you?
You did. How are you guys?
I'm good. How are you, Caroline?
Wonderful. I love your accent, Mark. I'm Lithuanian, so I love it. It sounds oh so familiar. Love it.
But you don't have it.
I don't.
Are you managing quarantine well?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, we've been mostly quarantined with both of our daughters, and today, this morning, we sent one back to college, so it's a little sad, but thank God we have another one, and we're fine.
You got your backup, kiddo.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, there's no reason to complain. people are in much dire straits than me, so I'm fine.
Did the production of Away get affected by quarantine at all, do you know? Or was it fully wrapped before everything kind of shut down in L.A.?
It was. I mean, the shooting, it was kind of miraculous because, of course, no one knew. But we finished shooting somewhere in mid-February, I think, 2-3 weeks before everything started stopping. And we still have Vivian, who plays Lou, the Chinese astronaut. We were following her mom's situation in China, and she was saying, yeah, this isn't crazy. My, you know, people are quarantined and no one is getting out. And we got a constant kind of update on what's going on. And no one would think that a few months later, we're going to have the same thing. But basically, production, we were very lucky. We finished shooting a few weeks before everything came to a halt. And then we had, I think they continued working on the show, and hence we have the premiere in a couple of days. I had to do some ADR, so they sent someone with a car to my house. They brought a special iPad and special pods. Usually you would go to a studio, but they kind of delivered everything to your house, and it worked out well.
That's amazing.
Thank God we live in a world where technology allows you to do that kind of thing, you know?
I mean, a few, even 20 years ago, 25 years ago, everything would have looked different.
Let's start actually at the very beginning, and tell us how you were even cast for the role of Misha Popoff. How did that come about?
As far as I know, my managers were talking to the producer, to the casting, and when this came up, they said, we have the perfect guy for you. And I work a lot internationally, and I had a Danish series that was supposed to be shot in Iceland. And so the casting people said, is he available? And said, well, he's going to be available until the end of this week, but you'll have to make a decision. So they set up a meeting, and I met with the creators of the show and the director of the pilot, who is one of the producers as well, Ed Zwick, who was amazing. And so it was like four or five people in the room, and we had this conversation, which ended up in getting the offer. And I think it was a combination of Russian age. And the interesting thing that we discussed a lot during that conversation was the dynamic of a group that has a tendency of who is the commander, and if the commander, do I deserve to be a commander and stuff like that. And I said, look, I know about it so well from my army times, because I was served in the Israeli military for 3 years. It's a very similar dynamic. So there were a lot of lines where we kind of were speaking the same language. Ended up being offered to me, and I'm very happy it happened.
You're appearing in so many different wide range of movies and TV shows, from Schindler's List to The New Pope and Johnny English Reborn to Homeland. I understand that your Army background would draw you to this, but was there anything else about this role that just really clicked with you?
You know, I was born in the USSR in the 60s, at the height of the race to space. When I was growing up, it was all about cosmonauts. You know, I had tins of cosmonauts and, you know, photos and dolls and even a suit. It was like a big deal when I was growing up. So in a way, I brought with me, when I came to set, I brought with me these pins that I had since I was 4 or 5 of the Russian astronauts of the time. So there's emotionally, it's part of my childhood. It's something I, mind you, that if you ask me whether I want to go to space now, I would say no. No way. I want to stay here. No. I'm good here. But when I was 4 or 5, yeah, by all means, I wanted to go there. So there was some charm and, I don't know, nostalgia in being part of something like that, beyond the fact that it's a really good, you know, show. You have a great commander like as Hilary Swank, people like Ed Zwick, who were so deep into preparing the whole thing, and Jason Cadens and Andrew Hinrich. I mean, there's a long line of people who are, you know, such a great team. So I was very happy to be part of it.
It really is an all-star cast and crew of creatives in front and behind the camera. But I actually want to pick up on that, since you were born in Ukraine during the Soviet Union mm-hmm. era. The show has a little bit of like a Cold War era vibe to it when it begins. You know, you have your character yeah. and you have Liu, the Chinese astronaut, and they're kind of against them, mm-hmm. You know, this American commander. And there's a little bit of bravado, I think, in Misha's character, a little bit of he thinks he's the best, but there is also this kind of East-West like undercurrent to it. Did that ring true to you as growing up? Like, were you very influenced by the Cold War era and the idea of Russia and America rushing into space against each other?
My story is a little different. I mean, so until I was 7, yes, I actually remember things on TV and stuff that I saw in newspapers, and that's my early childhood. About it was the war in Vietnam and all these caricatures of America, you know, being the aggressor against the poor Vietnamese people, and there was that. But then when I was 7, my parents decided we're gonna, I mean, it was 1972, you know, let my people go. The Jews of the Soviet Union kind of got they opened the gate and some people left. Amongst them, we did, and we immigrated to Israel. Since the age of 7, I left the whole Soviet Union thing and went to Israel, which is a totally different ballgame. By then, I became basically part of the West, moving from communist to semi-socialist, but West.
Your parents, did they bring that home, or were they willing to like open up to the West also?
My parents weren't fans of the Soviets. There was part of the one of the reasons they left was they didn't see any hope and future for me and my sister. And I was like, we need to go. They weren't born in the Soviet Union. They were born in like a little town that was Austro-Hungary, and then it became Romania, and then during World War II, the Russians invaded. For them, they were the aggressors as well. So, no, we had a lot of family in Israel, and my parents were extremely happy to leave this whole Soviet thing and come to Israel. So there was not too much warm feelings toward the old USSR.
I'm smiling really big. My Lithuanian roots feel the same way. I'm like, oh, no hard love.
Oh, yeah.
No.
I know you guys, and you got it hard as well from them when they invaded and like pummeled everyone. Yeah.
Oh my God. So let's get back to Away here. We've been reading you so much about how the producers put all of you guys through like a version of space boot camp. Dug into your background, so we have a feeling that you might have had some interesting training of your own that might have helped that.
I think you mean the circus. My circus fast.
I think you know what I mean.
Yeah. Well, so yeah, so they got us to Vancouver 2 weeks before the shoot started and put us in the air on cables with these crazy contraptions. And we were trained to be hung in midair and be able to communicate and to act and to move and to kind of control ourselves while hanging by these cables, which was a really interesting way of starting a production for 2 weeks. It was many hours a day and we were exhausted, but it was a very good way of getting fit. I had a friend who said, this sounds like show me your abs. Okay, I have a business proposition here. But so from day one, I mean, it took me, I don't know, a day or two to get used to that. And then my background as a circus performer kicked in. When I was 22, 23, well, I had an option to become a doctor. I was accepted to a medical school in Israel, and I was supposed to go and be a doctor. And then it was just after the army, and I was like, hey, it's like I just finished 3 years in the army during the war. Do I want to get into another 7+ years of training? No, okay, I'll do something. I'll just take a year off and do whatever I want. And I became, like, 3 months later, everything I did kind of led to clowning. So I told my mom at a certain stage, I don't think I'm going to be a doctor. I think I'm going to be a clown, which made her extremely... no, she was actually okay with that, I guess. No,
she's a good okay. Mom.
She was a good mom. She was, I kind of expected her to explode, and she was like, yeah, well, whatever makes you happy. So, yeah, and I ended up, it was 2 years that led me to, at the end, I was part of a French circus. I performed in Paris for 6 years, and I was a juggler, and I was an acrobat, and usually people start much younger. I started when I was 22, 23, but I could do a lot of somersaults and flips and all that, which was useful. You said you mentioned bravado of Misha. I guess it just comes from me because like 2 days into the thing, I would just like to the stuntman and who were in charge of the boot camp. I was like, can you hold on 1 second? I want to stay here. And then I would do 3, 4, 5 somersaults in a row in this cable thing. And they were, whoa, the first time everyone came from all over the studio to look at it. And I was like, oh, yeah.
Great showing up, just so they knew who they were messing with. You know, you had to...
Exactly.
You had to put them on notice.
Exactly.
Beyond the physical training for the role, how else did you prepare to become an astronaut? Did you base your performance on anyone in particular or do a lot of studying for that role?
The ones I saw on Russian TV or I found it on YouTube, but they had followed one of the an astronaut whose name is Misha, by the way, but a real guy, who spent over a year in space at a space station at Mir. He taped himself for a year, or his partner did, or so you had that. So I watched, I don't know, 12 hours of a Russian guy named Misha in space, and took some things from there. Though the guy himself wasn't that model that I kind of based my guy upon. And then so there was it takes time with every part, every role I do. I'm trying to find, I call it a hook, how does it connect to me, to something I know about myself or someone I know. And then it was funny, about I don't know, like a month into the shoot, suddenly I realized who I'm basing it on, and it's the farthest thing from astronaut that can be. It's my friend from Los Angeles, who was an Israeli, ex-Israeli, who's been here for 30-odd years, who's a contractor. And suddenly I was like, oh, this guy is really, my role, Misha, is really like my friend, because that friend, he's a big guy. He is very kind of impressive. He looks a little intimidating, but he has the softest inside, but from the outside he has this big strong armor, but then when you know him you can see the cracks and the soft nice inside comes out with jokes, with his humor. He constantly makes jokes, most of them not funny, I have to say. Hopefully he's not going to be listening to it, but it's kind of his way of diffusing and getting through his own armor. And suddenly I was like, yeah, that's Misha. Misha has the same thing. He is kind of tough. Well, he won't give you slack. It doesn't seem like it. But then you know him better, and suddenly stuff comes out that surprises you, which what I like about this character. He's full of surprises.
He certainly is. He had a lot of surprising things that happened to him that were really unexpected. As a mom of 3 kiddos with special needs, including my eldest, who happens to be deafblind, I really appreciated that the show had great representation of a variety of challenges. When Misha's character, who I love so much, started to experience vision loss, I was like sitting up in my chair like, oh boy, how are you going to do this? Because, you know, I live this, so I want to see this. So what kind of research, what did you do for that?
Actually, it's not the first time I'm performing someone with disabilities. So I shot a movie years ago that in which I had to be blind. back then, I did a lot of research. Really, I remember what stuck in my mind was this documentary, beautiful documentary about a group of people from Europe who go to Nepal and get a group of teenagers who are blind, mostly from birth, to go to the Himalayas, to go climb the Everest, basically. Well, it didn't get to the Everest, but they went pretty far, and wow, with blind kids. And one of the guides is blind as well. So for me, it was an amazing thing to watch. And then from that, I took a few ways of, dealing with the blindness. Back when I did that, what, about 6 or 7 years ago, there was enough to lead me through what I had to do. Now it's more limited, but it helped me.
Well, I think you did a beautiful job, and I really appreciated the dialogue between you and Lou and how much she was encouraging you that you're not less than, and that you have more skills and all this. And I just, again, as a mom and as someone who is an advocate in the special needs community, I think you guys did a beautiful job saying, like, but look,
well,
at all
thank
the things
you so much.
Do.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
In this sense, this show is really, I mean, the timing couldn't have been better, unfortunately, but the life in the time of COVID is so weird and difficult that this type of a show with variety and range of different things that you can apply, the hope element, something that takes you away from the dread of time not passing by and,
right,
and being closed off, it's really special.
Absolutely. It's very poignant right now. I loved the use of puppetry in this as well. The way that you express your feelings to your own family, it really hit home with me. Our son said his first words using puppets. We couldn't get him to talk at all, but with puppets, he could talk. So
wow.
The whole part there, yeah, that I really felt like that watching Misha be able to express to his family the whole concept of Earth Dog and Space Dog and all of that, I was like, yes, I totally, this is
wow,
understandable. You did a beautiful job with the puppets. I have a feeling that you may have
thank
some background
you
with that. Did you feel comfortable with
yeah
puppets?
Well, it's one of these things when they send me the script, and it wasn't in the first episode, but when I got a few more episodes and suddenly the puppets come up, I was like, no way, because all of my childhood was filled with those, with puppet theater, and my dad used to have every birthday I had from the age of, I don't know, 2 to 7 or 8, all of the kids of the neighborhood would come and he would organize them into a puppet show and I would, be part of it. So I, even when I came with me, to Vancouver, I grabbed 4 or 5 different puppets that I had since the early 60s that even my kids were playing with, and I brought them with me just to show them that I have that. And we actually used them in some sort of when we have flashbacks, they are on the side somewhere, my original ones. So yeah, I mean, the whole thing of Misha was in a very interesting way. There were connections and angles that little by little revealed themselves that connected it to me.
That must feel very fulfilling to you to be able to express that on screen, and it's so much a part of you.
Correct.
I have to
yeah
ask you, as Misha, I know you are Space Dog. I know. But as Mark, do you consider yourself Space Dog or Earth Dog?
I am such an Earth Dog.
but you're such
yeah,
a spacer.
No,
I feel like you're Space Dog in there.
I am. I can, I like flying in planes, but, I like going from one place to the other and being able to land. I don't want the idea of going somewhere and getting stuck there for more than 24 hours. No, I feel much better here with gravity and all. Yeah, and that's why I'm an actor. It's a great thing to be an actor. And then you can play a bad guy and then cut and you become the good guy. Or you can go to Mars and then cut and you go home. I admire the people who actually do it. And another thing is, I'm an engineer in the show. I am the stupidest guy with my hands and brains. If I need to do something, the best I can do is screw a bulb. So just being an engineer who needs to fix some kind of a incredibly complicated machine, thank God I can do that and then come back to Earth where other people who can actually do it can do it for me.
I like the idea that you're not Space Dog, but you play one on TV. And, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
Exactly.
So, you know, we already talked a little bit about how, you know, you're very comfortable on the wires and you were able to show off that skill a little bit. One thing that didn't seem like a lot of fun were those big, heavy, bulky spacesuits. And there's one scene in particular where Misha and Emma are out doing a spacewalk trying to fix solar panels, but they're also having a heartfelt conversation together. I mean, they're talking about some serious things about their own conflict that they have and about the thing that they're trying to do. How hard was it to maneuver in those suits, not let alone act, but actually just kind of get around? They seem extremely cumbersome.
They are kind of cumbersome, but the great thing about it is that when you get yourself into that type of a suit, you don't need to act a lot because the fact they are cumbersome makes it look natural. This is the way you would move in space anyways. So as soon as this is put on you, it kind of gives you that slow, almost slow-mo-y motion, and you don't need to. Because when we are hanging in the air and in the middle of a scene, suddenly we've gotten to a point where we were so supportive of each other, so we would give notes to each other. Guys, remember, we're, you know, the zero gravity, so Mark, remember that? Yeah, sure. And we were keeping an eye on each other because sometimes you need to act that. And sometimes when you have an emotional scene, it's really difficult to still keep in mind that you need to do everything slow-mo as well. But when you put on the suit, there's no need. You can't move otherwise. The only way to move is that way.
Right.
So that kind of works very well for what we need to do. My only problem was that at a certain stage in the beginning, it was before we started shooting, when we were just doing the measuring and everything, I threw my back. And that was painful because to put these damn things on you, it's like you have to put your hands up in the air and they kind of slide it over your head, and it was painful. It was so painful. So that was the only, but it had nothing to do with the suit. It had to do with my bloody back. When it got better, it was all fine.
Mark, if we're lucky enough to get that second season of Away, where would you like to see Misha's character go?
I'm thinking about it periodically, and what I'm reading now, I don't have a solution now. I don't have a particular idea, but I started reading something really interesting. There's this guy who does prep for people in space, people on long missions in space, and he gives, I think he works with NASA, he gives them all kind of consultation on what, where to go, how to do it, and he does it through hundreds of years of reading and studying what happened to people who went to Antarctica. And Antarctica, they had, starting with, I don't know, 300-400 years ago, boats were going then and getting stuck in the middle of nowhere, you know, trapped in ice. And then they had to spend years, sometimes more. And there's a lot of conclusions coming from how people make it through that long of a time. So I'm reading it right now, and I'm trying to figure out how does it affect Misha. I think out of the others, Misha is in a relatively good situation because that's his, he says it all the time, space is my home. So I think the relationship between how to see how actually he makes the space his home. As a joke, I was talking to him first about his connection to Mars, and I said he might just speak Martian. He just will start speaking gibberish, and this is, and it was like, what the hell, Misha? And I was like, yeah, that's Martian. So maybe he'll come up with Martian. I don't know. I'm working on it right now.
Mark, thank you so much for your time today. Thanks for hanging on the line.
Thank you, folks.
We really appreciate you coming on Pod Clubhouse, and we're both very excited for Away. We can't wait for it to premiere.
Likewise. September 4th.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. This has been an original Pod Clubhouse production. Pod Clubhouse is a podcast network dedicated to encouraging collaboration among podcasters and friends to bring a fresh voice and diverse perspective on a wide array of content. Please visit and leave a comment for us at podclubhouse.com. Rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast feeds on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can find us at Pod Clubhouse. Our DMs are always open, and we'd love to hear from you.